I'm focused facing in West Texas and have implications across the belt. We've heard from several speakers earlier today with regard to verticillium, wilt, alternaria, and leaf spot and things like that. We'll try to discuss a little bit of that from a West Texas perspective and try to give a little bit of an introduction to some of the biology associated with these pests. So some of the diseases that we'll talk about, focusing primarily on verticillium wilt, it's probably our number one disease issue from the standpoint of cotton production on the southern high plains. It's becoming more and more of a problem in other areas as well, as Dr. Norton mentioned earlier in Arizona. Talk about some issues related with that. Fusarium wilt, differentiating between those two and the difficulties in managing those two diseases. We'll also talk about a little bit about the encroachment of the reniform nematode into the southern high plains, and then talk a little bit about some foliar diseases that we've been seeing creeping up over the last couple of years. Verticillium wilt is caused by the soil-borne fungus Verticillium dallei. Infections typically take place early in the season, primarily before flowering. The symptoms that we see associated with the disease, although it is soil-borne in nature, are foliar, and they arise from the plant being infected from the pathogen, and then it constricts the ability of the plant to maintain the water potential it needs through flowering and fruiting. And we see a foliar symptom of necrosis and chlorosis on the leaves, as we see in the bottom picture. The problem with this disease is the fungus is long-lived in the soil. It survives as specialized survival structures, the microsclerotia. They can survive extreme long periods of time in the absence of a host, and it makes management of this disease very difficult. One of the things that's very limiting from the standpoint of managing verticillium wilt is there's not a good chemical control option out there. We have the ability to fumigate in some areas. However, that is very costly and oftentimes cost prohibitive based on the efficacy of the product. Dr. Terry Wheeler, my research counterpart there in Lubbock, has done a tremendous job the last several years of evaluating varieties and cotton cultivars for their performance with regard to verticillium wilt throughout the region, and we're using that basis as the cornerstone of a disease management approach with regard to verticillium. Here we see some pictures that just kind of visualize the symptomology and the progression of the disease. In the upper left-hand corner, you can see again that chlorosis and that modeling of the leaf that we see associated with that foliar symptom. As the disease progresses, we can typically see a defoliation that takes place, as you can see on the right, comparing the cotton plant on the left being healthy compared to a severely stunted and defoliated plant on the right. A quick and dirty diagnostic tool is to uproot those plants that you suspect as being infected and taking a transverse section of the stem, and you'll reveal a vascular discoloration that implies that you are dealing with a vascular wilt of some sort. The picture on the bottom right-hand corner, that is a picture of Verticillium dallei, the causal agent of Verticillium wilt, infecting a potato tuber, and those black structures are those microsclerotia that can remain viable in the soil for extremely long periods of time, making management difficult. Historically, Verticillium wilt was a major problem on the southern high plains in the 1970s and 80s with the release and introduction of HS26. Over time, we saw gradual reductions in Verticillium wilt. That is due primarily to the resistance mechanism of that, or tolerance resistance mechanism of that variety. We're having a resurgence of the disease, though, as we move away from cotton cultivars with a background of HS26, we're seeing an increase in disease. Currently, this is the most economically important disease that we face on the southern high plains, and the potential is there to become very broad in the fact that the pathogen also infects rotation crops such as peanut and chili pepper in some of our most productive cotton-producing counties, making rotation limited. We do see significant impacts on cotton production. We see reductions in yield, lower micronarian uniformity, which results in drastic reductions in yield and ultimately profitability because of the loan price. We're currently evaluating several management practices to again try to complement the use of resistant cultivars with regard to managing verticillium. A similar type of disease that we see associated on the southern high plains that has also changed in the dynamic of its history is Fusarium wilt. The distribution of this pathogen is a little more restricted than what we see with verticillium. Verticillium is pretty much endemic to the southern high plains, whereas Fusarium wilt is restricted to the counties south and west of Lubbock. and that's due to the association with the root knot nematode. Those counties where we see this disease problem have typically sandier soils, and that plays to the interaction with the root knot nematode. Typically, what we see with regard to Fusarium wilt is the disease develops about 30 to 45 days after planting, typically after we start seeing the remnants of the seedling disease complex play out, we'll start to see symptoms of Fusarium wilt. Historically, the thing that's changed with regard to Fusarium wilt is the fact that it has historically been associated as a mid-season vascular wilt, where you'll see it occurring after the plant has flowered and begins to set fruit. But now again, we're seeing it earlier in the season, indicating that there's some change, potential change in the biology of the pathogen. The difficulty with regard to this disease is the management options that we have are quite limited. However, we can obtain decent control or minimize losses by maximizing your nematode control. Some of the research efforts that we've are starting to look at on the Southern High Plains to complement some of the other research that's being conducted throughout the United States with regard to this disease is, again, to look at the nematicides and see what effect they have on minimizing losses associated with this disease. And we're also looking at characterizing the pathogen population. Many of you may know that there's been some instances with an introduced race of Fusarium wilt that may have great implications on cotton production. We're taking advantage of the population that we have in the Southern High Plains and trying to characterize what the pathogen is, population structure is like, so we can better understand that disease complex. We're also starting to complement Dr. Wheeler's research by screening the cotton cultivars that are commercially available and identify those tolerant or resistant varieties that we can recommend to growers. And we're also starting to look at the association of the population dynamics with regard to disease development, again, trying to get a better understanding of the pathogen biology. A couple other things that we've seen in my brief tenure in West Texas is the increase in foliar diseases. When I first got there, I was told we don't have foliar diseases in West Texas. About 2 weeks on the job, and I started getting copious amounts of samples of foliar diseases. I assure you, I did not bring those from Georgia whenever I moved with the PhD, but we do see an increase in foliar diseases. One is alternaria stem blight. Dr. Bowman identified this first in 1999. Typically, symptoms are associated with this disease are circular areas in the field. They resemble lightning strikes. Infections, they typically occur on the foliage at the leaf margin and then progress down the stem, and you get basically death of the plant. In association with that, you also get prolific sporulation, as you see on the bottom right-hand corner. In 2006, we had a very dry year, and we saw an increase in alternaria leaf spot. Again, it was mentioned by Dr. Monks in Auburn that they've seen this in the southeast associated with premature senescence, drought stress. It can be quite severe in some instances, as the bottom right-hand picture or left-hand picture indicates. You can get some defoliation. However, the experiences that we've had on the Southern High Plains is typically that of mid-season infections and no real relationship with regard to yield reductions. However, if those infections take place earlier in the season, we could see some reductions in yield. And then one of the other emerging, the final emerging issue that we'll talk about is the reniform nematode. In Texas, we're not any different than the other cotton producing states across the belt. However, in West Texas, this is a minor issue compared to say the Southeast or the Mid-South, where the reniform nematode has been established for several years. This nematode, its name is derived from the characteristics of the mature female. Symptoms that we see, they're very similar to that of root knot nematode. They consist of stunting, chlorosis, and wilting. With that, you can get a reduction in root growth and significant reductions in yield and quality. This is more of a problem in the southern part of the state, but we are starting to see fields that are infested with this nematode on the Southern High Plains, and we're continuing to monitor this every year as we're starting to see more and more fields that are infested. So with that, I'll conclude.